I'm Professor Greg Stephens, Kenneth Copeland, Bible College, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want to thank Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the invitation. I'm so humbled to bring the Word of God to you for the 2 weeks. We're finishing week one right now. It's an honor to do so. I do not take this lightly. It is humbling to be here, and I thank you, Brother Copeland. I have watched the two of you faithfully minister God's Word, teaching believers who they are in Christ to live a victorious life over faith. I've watched them. I've experienced it firsthand. I'll never forget the first time with him that he and I had an interaction. We prayed over a television truck, and he said, "You thought you were praying, or you thought I was praying, but I was praying with you. I agreed with you." In other words, he said, "I partnered with you because you had the authority over that truck and I didn't." Amen. And so I watched it. I've watched this firsthand, and I'm telling you what a blessed ministry this is. So Father, we bless the Copelands right now. We thank you for their example. We thank you for the word they've taught us. We thank you that we have many, many, many more years with them to be taught by them. We thank you that we've partnered with them. And Lord, I thank you, and I call it right now, a million partners. A million partners coming in to this ministry. Imagine what we can get done with a million partners. And I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, let's go, class. I gave you the golden text. I'm going to show you a new verse today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's get our Bibles, get your pen ready. Have you enjoyed this so far? Seeing partnership that maybe you didn't make a connection, it was partnership. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of oxen? Or said he, altogether for our sakes, no doubt this is written, that he should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things." In other words, if we've sown spiritual things to you, then it's only right for natural. So that's Levitical. Remember, the rest of the tribes partnered with the priest. Now you've been made a king and a priest as well. That transference has happened if you're in Christ Jesus. A little boy, I mentioned it earlier, partnered with Jesus at lunch, and it fed the multitude. That thing is recorded in all of the Gospels. Over in John 6, 1 through 15, there's some things to notice that he knew what he would do. Well, let's just go there. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is recorded in all the Gospels, but I'm going to read it out of this one today, if that's okay. Verse 1, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples." I know exactly where this place is. "And the Passover, or Feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would do." Listen, if you've ever had the Lord ask you a question, and I have, he already knows what he's going to do. He's not trying to get an answer out of you. He's trying to get you to partner with him and whatever's going on right now. You hear what I just said? Has he ever asked you a question?
Yes.
He's asked me a question many times because I ask him tons of questions. I'm always asking questions. I was born asking questions. I was that kid that asked you a million questions about anything. Why you got those shoes? Why'd you pick those? Why are you wearing those? I was always that guy. I'm still that guy. I notice things other people don't notice. I don't know why I do that. I just do that. Things come to me in a weird kind of way, and I ask questions. And I've learned that the Father created me that way, and he's okay with it. Yeah. Now, everybody else around me has to learn it, and I've had to learn to temper my questions. Amen. Even with my own family and my own parents, my father would say, I'd say, why is this? And he said, because I said so. I mean, that's basically the answer I would finally get. He knew what he was going to do. So think about the last question he asked you, your spirit. He already knows what he's going to do. You need to know something. God's in control. He was in control in this situation with no food there. He's in control of it. He just needed somebody to partner with him to give him something to multiply. Jesus, what I just said. My Jesus, what I just said to you.
Amen.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give. He's operating by the same principle. My Jesus in heaven. Glory to God. Your problem may not be that God didn't hear you. I know it's not. He heard you. He's working with other people to partner with you. He's in control. He's not worried if anybody's going to step up or not. He's just going to go to the next guy, to the next guy, to the next one, to the next one. Amen. He offers us an opportunity to partner with the miracle. That little boy left that morning not knowing he's going to partner with the creator of the universe in a supernatural miracle. But that's what's about to happen. Second, it's about multiplication. So first, he knows what he's going to do. He's not worried. He's in control. Number one, he's in control. Number two, it's multiplication. This boy is a partner and he sees, think of the little thing the boy saw that day, what he learned that day. He learned that God's in control. And next, he saw multiplication happen right in front of his eyes. He saw a miracle in front of him. And third, multiplication requires trust. I remember the Lord speaking to me one time. We were facing something and I was fasting and I was praying and I was laying on the floor and I was walking and I was prostrate and I was doing everything but inflicting pain upon myself to get an answer. It's just silly. It was a waste of time. And finally, I got quiet enough. I'm asking the Lord this and I'm asking the Lord that. I got quiet enough to hear this. Greg, do you trust me? Of course I trust you. Again, do you trust? I'm like, okay, about the third time I realized I don't trust you. What is that? What am I doing here? And here's what he said to me. Trust requires unanswered questions. Trust requires unanswered questions because if I know the answer, then I don't have to trust. Amen. But he knew the answer. He knew what he was going to do. Disciples didn't know. The little boy didn't know, but he knew. So it requires trust. It requires that I trust him to release. I have to release the lunch my mother gave me. My mother would have been furious at me for giving my lunch to somebody else. What'd you do with your lunch? Oh, I gave it to so-and-so. Why'd you do that? I didn't make you a lunch for you to feed everybody else. That's my mother. No? Can you not hear that? I would have heard that. Why did you give your lunch away? Who took your lunch from you? No, it required trust of him partnering with Jesus to do this. And he saw the multiplication happen. So it requires, number four, some temporary sacrifice. He lost his lunch for a moment. He watched his lunch go over there to that guy who then prayed over it. That's my lunch. My happy meal just walked away. Like the widow putting two mites in the treasury that day. Required trust, required partnership. The offering of Isaac was a sacrifice. The two mites were a sacrifice. So there will come a time that it's going to be a sacrifice. I remember getting my dream car, the greatest car that was ever made, the Chevrolet Corvette. Now, you may not think so, but to me, whoo, still to this day, I'll see a certain Corvette. I'll go, look at that. Hallelujah. And I got it. My dream came. And after a period of time with that car, I heard the Lord say, you like that car? Oh, I love that car. Now, I didn't understand back then. Hadn't been around Brother Copeland enough. Oh, I love that car. Thank you for this car. And I'm trying to praise the Lord with the car. And then he required it of me. I even said, Lord, that's my dream. You know that. It's my dream car. You know that. And I realized that Abraham had to offer his dream. And he asked me for the car. And just it was not to cause me to fail, but to take me to another level of partnership with him. Come on now. Amen. And so it required trust. It required some temporary sacrifice. Finally, we saw multiplication. Know this, multiplication is God's work, not ours. All I do is provide. All I do is partner. We trust and enter into partnership, he multiplies it. Yes. There were 12 baskets left over. That happened in our church. I had a lady come to me and say, Pastor, we ought to do this, we ought to do that. When you're a pastor, everybody comes to you with things the church ought to do. And some of them, yes. And I've learned to say, I think the Lord's calling you to do that to them. Because I don't need another thing on my plate to do. Yeah. But this was one of those, it just struck me, it bore witness. And all of a sudden, one of the supermarkets was giving us bread, and we started giving it out. And then another market came on. One of them was, I'll just call it Trader Joe's, came on board. When Trader Joe's came on board, it was a whole different matter. And I said, what are we going to do with this? We needed freezer. They were giving us frozen stuff and flowers. And I mean, we were overloaded with treasures coming into the church. I'm like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And I said, guys, we need freezers now. Anybody got a freezer? We were looking for freezers everywhere we could go. And we were putting food. And I learned something. If I held it, it stopped multiplying. But we would give it out. And so we named it 12 Baskets. Because there was 12 baskets left over. And it got so vast, the general manager of the grocery chain came to me and said, we used to give all the time to different missions and all, but since we started giving this stuff to you guys, our sales are going up. Amen. What we did is we gave it first to the household of faith. We gave it to our church first. And then after that, anything was left over, we partnered then with other agencies. And a lot of it went across, we were in San Diego, a lot of it went across the border into Tijuana, and it went to an orphanage there. And it was the most amazing thing to watch what happened. Multiplication is God's work. We are partners, and we've watched that over and over and over. I want to show you a clip from Kenneth Copeland right now, talking about that very thing. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Speaking the truth in love, Jesus is the head from whom the whole body fitly joined together. But now look at this. Compacted or held together, held tightly together by that which every joint supplies according to the effect of the work in the same measure that every part produces, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. I'm so excited. We'll clean it up later. That held together, put together by Jesus, but compacted, held together. What each joint is supplying, and it maketh increase, building up of itself.
Amen.
Building up of itself. Because we are more powerful.
And you see that in that scripture. Because you could have 1,000 here and 1,000 here, one here.
But
and
you'd
have
2,000,
but you get two together and you got...
Yeah, you got the effect of 10,000.
Yeah.
Now, when you pull together, when you get this thing going together, we've been powerful to minister to the world. 195,000 partners, all of us working together, we've been strong to pull all over the world. But, dear God, you can hardly mentally conceive of what a million of us praying together, million of us believing together, million of us giving into this work and get Whoa, glory to God. I mean to tell you, there's not anything we can't do.
Amen. There's not anything. Nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. There's not anything that can't be done. Look what Jesus did with just 12 full-time guys with him. Imagine what Paul did with his team. Imagine if Paul would have had a jet airplane. My. Imagine if he had had the internet to write letters and all the things. And look what we've been given. So to much is given, much is required. I am standing with Brother Copeland and I'm saying it. 1 million partners. Imagine what will happen.
Amen.
With 1 million partners. Let me show you something. The way Jesus called his disciples is very, very interesting. In Matthew 4, Jesus calls four fishermen. He sees them mending their nets and he says something to them really strange. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now he still is using their occupation, fishermen and things that fishermen know, but I'm going to change it now. I'm going to have you catching something else than what you've been catching, what you've been used to. I'm going to upgrade. You ever got rented a car or whatever, and the guy goes, I want to give you an upgrade. Hey, I'll take the upgrade. That's exactly what God has done to you. He's going to take the gifts that you have. You're going to trust him. You're going to partner with him with the gift and calling that he's placed in your life. He's going to upgrade you. I'm telling you some things that I have learned with things that he's told me to do. He told me to do something not too long back. It was the craziest thing. You know, but I've learned to accept it. When he tells me to do something, do it. And I've learned to just say, oh, yes, sir, I'll do it. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to study and learn how to do it. I now have bees, honeybees, bees. And I'm raising and training bees, keeping bees. I am officially a beekeeper. I'm not a master beekeeper. I've got me a mentor. I got two of them. And one of them is a master beekeeper from Texas A&M University. He's certified master beekeeper. And I've learned so much from him just watching him. Now, I put the suit on. I have bees now. I put the suit on and I look like a big old marshmallow walking around. I can't put my arms down. I got this thing and this hood and I look like an astronaut or I don't know. I look funny. And my family all laughs at me, but I'm not going to get stung by the bee. I'm learning. Right. Now, listen, I'm pastoring bees. We've gone into a partnership. Now I understand why God asked me to do it. I'm a partner with bees. And bees partner with each other. They've got one queen. And everybody else is a partner in that hive. They're all related. They're a joint. Some are workers and they go out there and they find the new pollen in the stuff. I went yesterday and looked at my little girls and I saw pollen on their legs. I go, here we go. Now we're making honey. You see what I mean? And so I was looking at, I took them. These guys can hurt me. They can seriously hurt me. And so I work with him and I learn from the master beekeeper. He said, the first one will fly right at your eyes. It'll come right here, right at your face and your head. And you just speak to it. I went, well, praise God. I understand that. He said, just say hi to her and say, thank you for coming to check me out to protect the hive. And just talk to him. And when you see the queen, thank her and talk to her. And he talks to the bees. And he wears no gloves, no hood, no anything. And I said, do you ever get stung? He goes, every now and then, but it's usually because I made a mistake. I didn't know how to do it. So I've learned patience and moving slow. Don't open their hive on a cloudy day. They don't like cloudy days. They're grumpy. They're grumpy on a cloudy day. So things I'm learning and how to partner. I'm providing them a home and safety. And they will in turn provide me some of their honey. It's a partnership we have, one with another. I'm learning a whole lot about it. I'm excited about my bees. I really am. And I don't care that I look silly in my little suit. And I've already set my faith. There'll come a day when I won't have to wear the marshmallow suit and get made fun of. All right, big deal. It is a big deal. They were catching fish and they were mending their nets. And they had caught nothing. Remember that? But they're out there mending the nets to go that night. And when you look at that, the Greek word there for mending the nets is the same Greek word used for equipping of the saints. That's what we do. We equip the saints. Now, let me show you John chapter 21. Oh, praise God. We got to hurry on this. I want to show you this. This is going to bless you. Bless your socks off. If you live in California, your socks are already off. We never wore socks in California. I never understood it. In John 21, this is after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we go with you, or we're going with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Well, they were back in the same old business, same results. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, that's John, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked. I don't know why he's fishing naked. I don't know. Don't want to know. And did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from land, but as 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw on a fire, and Jesus was speaking to them. And look here, verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew up the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. Well, big deal, 153 fish. It is a big deal. In Hebrew, letters are numbers, and 153 means something. Now, people argue against this, but that's okay. Ani Elohim is 153. When he saw they had 153 fish, it's a Hebrew word, Ani Elohim. And you know what it means? I am God. The partnership, fishing partnership, Jesus went into partnership with them, with the fish. He went into partnership with the fish. Because we've been given dominion, hadn't we? So the very fact they caught 153 testified, I am God. My point is, he's in control. My point is, he has a plan. And he offers you a place of partnership to bless you. They were back at it the old way, just like the old days, worked all night, caught nothing. He said, put your net on the other side. And the number of fish that came in said, I am God. Partner with him today and watch what he will do when he says and proves in your situation, I am God in your partnership. Amen? Yes, amen. Amen. Back in just a moment. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I discovered my calling here at KCBC.
Immerse yourself in a faith community here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Get equipped with what you need for your next steps in life and ministry. Discover new gifts and talents and learn biblical education from seasoned instructors. Kenneth Copeland Bible College is here to help you find clarity of purpose in your life and ministry. Find your purpose, discover your calling. For more information, go to kcbiblecollege.org.
I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and today is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I want to share something with you about prosperity that is so important to know. It's really about the heart of prosperity. From 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the Apostle John was talking there about prospering in every way. And now what do we do with this prosperity? Well, we look over here at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, And I will make of you a great nation, talking to Abraham. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. One translation says, dispensing good to others. Dispensing good to others. Well, some time ago, the Lord ministered this phrase to me, and I've used it over and over and over again. My motivation for accumulation is distribution. Let's say that again. Say that with me. My motivation for accumulation is distribution. That is the heart of prosperity. It's just not us receiving, but also being sowers, givers, givers into the gospel, givers into others. You know, people question the prosperity message, and they question us preaching this. But listen to the definition of prosperity that Brother Copeland has given to it. True prosperity is the ability to meet the needs of mankind, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and in every way. That's what prosperity is all about. And that's what you can do, and that's what I can do. As you sow your seed into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, I can guarantee you that those finances are going to minister to the needs of people. As a matter of fact, 10% of everything that you give goes right back out again to minister to the needs in ministries all over the world. So your seed is a twice-sown seed. It's going much farther than you think it could ever go. If you want to participate today in this offering and be a blessing to mankind, kcm.org/give, kcm.org/give, and watch the blessing of the Lord come on you to be a blessing to others.
Jesus revealed himself in nature. I am God. I am your partner. I'm your covenant partner. Joining me this week, thank you so much for joining me and being part of the Believer's Voice of Victory. Be sure to get your broadcast study notes free on kcm.org/notes. They have all the scriptures and teaching points from this week of broadcast, and you can use them for your personal study or to teach a small group. I encourage you to do that. I've heard people all the time that say they use these broadcasts to teach small groups. Thank you, partners. Thank you for your faithful sowing and your generosity. It's helped us make these notes available to people around the world free of charge. Listen, it's Friday. Go to church this weekend. Bless your pastor. Let's get together in God's presence and hear the word as it's preached. If you're in Fort Worth, Texas, I invite you to come to Eagle Mountain International Church with Pastor George and Terry Pearson's, or you can tune in live at emic.org. Join me next week on the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're going to talk about partnership some more and look at a lot more of it maybe that you haven't seen before. Know this, that God loves you and we love you. And what? Jesus is Lord. Bless you. We'll see you next week.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/give, or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.